questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest, Sheikh Noor Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Our question today, dear Sheikh, is seemingly a quite simple one, but its answer is going to be tough. But inshallah, you're up to the task, as we know. So the question is as follows. If Allah truly has no need for any creature and creation, then why did He create them? Normally, if I am hungry, I try to get some food. I maybe create a dish. I make some food for myself because I need the dish to eat to survive. Do we follow the same logic here when we talk about the creator of everything?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, there is a comparison between the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creatures. For example, when human being wanted to eat something, or for example, drink, sleep, these are stem from the needs of the human being, because we need to eat, need to sleep, need to rest, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But we cannot compare it to the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The comparison here is absolutely wrong. Why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me explain my arguments via some verses of Noble Quran.
Please do.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. There is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the living, the everlasting.
Right.
Al-Qayyum, Al-Hay, Al-Qayyum, especially Al-Hay means a living, and Al-Qayyum means everlasting and the
eternal,
independent.
Yes, the absolute.
The absolute. He does not need anybody except Himself, you know, as we call it. For example, the independent being does not need anything behind Himself. Okay.
Right.
Of course, these are some metaphoric, like my explanation, just I want to make it close to the mind.
To clarify the meaning.
To clarify,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I know that when I use this terminology, maybe it caused some misconception, because because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot compare Him to anybody else. Because laytha kamithlihi shay, nothing is like to Him. You cannot, make anything similar
to Allah. No comparison, no similarities. He is completely unique.
Yes, completely unique. In the rest of the verse, He said that whatever in heavens and earth belong to Him, and His kingdom embraces the heavens and earth.
And the heavens, what is the meaning, just to clarify for our listeners? Is it everything? Is it also the universe?
Yes. Yes, right. The universe, whatever in the universe and heavens belongs to Him, and His kingdom embraces the heavens and earth. We are talking about such
a being.
We are talking about such Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
And He does not need anything, and He is independently doing His action. So we cannot, when we say that, why He created human being,
right?
He does not need a creation of the human being, does not looking for any benefit for that. The only benefit returns to human being himself or herself, okay? Let me share another verse of Noble Quran talking about the philosophy of the creation. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He created death and life in order that He may test you which of you is best in conduct. And then He said, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. And He is Almighty, All-Forgiving. Again, I would like to emphasize on the Al-Aziz Al-Ghafoor. He is Almighty.
Right.
Which means and All-Forgiving. Does not need anybody. Nobody can defeat Him. Okay.
Right. So he's powerful, he can do whatever he wants, but, a big but, he's also merciful.
Yes, merciful, yes, exactly. And the reason and the final philosophy of creation is that human being, in order to test the human being, whether that individual having the best conduct or not.
So it is a test. It isn't because he needs human beings, for example. It is because he wants to test human beings,
yes.
Right?
He wanted to test the human being. And what is a benefit of testing? The benefit, of course, it has a lot of benefits.
Right.
One of the benefits of that is that individual become, you know, make it closer to his or her perfection.
Right.
Okay. In other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talk about the philosophy of creation, he elaborate on this point and he said that, I just wanted to make this universe and to create human being in order to look whether that individual has a best conduct or not. And what is the result of that? The result of that individual become closer to his
it's
or her potential.
Nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nearness to perfection, right?
Nearness to perfection and enact the potentiality that exists in the human being.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So, dear Sheikh, let's assume that we have a perfect being, like maybe the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, which is the most perfect being there is, of course, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't he benefit Allah in any way? Is there no benefit to Allah that he has such a perfect being?
Of course, there is no need and there is no benefit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely not. Just for the creation.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Yes. For the creation, as to mention that, for example, the existence of the noble Prophet Muhammad, he is a best sample for human being. He is the final messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, you know, a lot of benefit for the noble Prophet and of course for the humanity.
Right.
It has a lot of, you know, benefit for the humanity and for
but
mankind.
Not for the creator, just
not
to,
for the
right.
Not for the creator himself, yes.
And dear Sheikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings to examine them, right? That's what we are going with here. Then why do we have so many different creatures in the world? We also have jinn, for example, or angels, for example. What is their purpose in creation? Are they also being examined?
Of course, for the talking about the jinn, maybe we have some similarity between because when we say Rabb al-Alameen, the owner of the universe, all universe, maybe according to one interpretation, is talking about the, or for example, al-Thaqalain, it's talking about al-jinn wal-ins, jinns and the human being.
Right.
We have some similarities between jinn and us. But other animals, for example, other planets and the everything that
plants,
we see.
Trees,
yes,
animals.
Plants, and trees, animals, these things. Maybe the reason for the creation is actually one of the reasons for the creation is for the benefit of the mankind. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Because we have some hints in the verses of Noble Quran talking about these issues, and he wanted to say we have created whatever is on the planet for the benefit of the human being.
So ghanaim or na'aim, basically
yes.
Blessings and bounties for
yes.
The human race.
You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and how he is beneficent for the mankind.
Right.
You see? But unfortunately, we see that many mankind does not deserve to be the righteous successor and righteous, as we say, Khalifatullah, righteous, you know, vicegerent of Allah on earth.
And not only that, many human beings do not thank Allah for all of these bounties that they have. We have a whole Surah Ar-Rahman about this. Well, Rabb al-Alameen, the Lord, he mentions all of these bounties he has given the human race. Then he asks, then why do you neglect them? Why do you not believe in me? Why do you not thank me? And so on. Sheikh, one question. So by saying that perhaps the universe was created for the human race as a maybe a playground for them to be tested in, by extension, animals will also not have a judgment day, right? Because they are just created beings. So can also animals be evil? Do we have evil, truly evil animals?
You know, about the day of judgment of the animals, we should, you know, it is not very clear for us whether they have the resurrection or not, and what is a exact, you know, I can say the character of the resurrection, whether we have it or not, or in which care. Exactly, we do not have detailed information, or at least I'm not aware of that, about the resurrection of animal. But generally speaking, we cannot, you know, and can't count the animals to be evil. You know, they are, of course, they are not evil. They are all creation of Allah. They are for the mercy. It is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has a lot of benefit for the mankind. So all of them, they are useful and they are beneficial in their own places. Okay.
Like fire, just because it burns you when you touch it doesn't mean it's evil. That's how it is. It's nature.
Yes. Yes. And if you go to the realm of animal, you see that it has a lot of explanation and a lot of philosophical point behind that. But as I said, generally speaking, they have been created, not only whatever on earth, maybe other creatures that have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these disgraceful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. And unfortunately, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. It
exactly.
is from the Satan that he said that you will not find most of your servants to be grateful from your bounties.
Right. Sheikh, one final question. So we know that human beings and also jinn, from what we understand from the hadith and verses of the whole Quran, they are also created and they will also face judgment day, right? What about the angels? Do the malaika, do the angels of Rabb al-Alamin also have a judgment day? Will they also be tested? Are they being tested or are they just another blessing that Allah has created for us?
About the test of angels, of course they do not have the test that we have here in this world because they are bal-ibadun mukramun. They are the noblest servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have in different narration, they're always in the position of prostration, bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They always obey Allah and they do not have taklif or, for example, obligation, okay?
Right.
Because always they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay?
Right.
They are totally different. Their nature is totally different from the human being. They do not have any material within them that we are talking madda, that we call it here in Arabic. But about the resurrection, we are not again, we do not have clear reason that whether they have resurrection or not.
And with that, we will unfortunately have to end today's session. Dear Sheikh, I thank you for your insightful knowledge and for answering these perhaps annoying questions. And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن أباني علي وحسين وحسن.